The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News Talk Sports. Busy, busy, busy day on the show today. Mike McCarthy is always at 9:10. We have Reed Ribble from Washington at 9:20. It might not be as amicable as it's been between Reed and I for the last couple of days, because I think they're walking into the same old Obama trap, which we're going to get into all of that. Why Ron Johnson is being eaten alive by national conservative pundits. I listened to the Mark Levin interview yesterday. Also, I have written a piece of my own on it. We'll get to that at, Wausau. We'll be joined by the voice of morning news in Wausau, Chris Conley, to talk about what the Wausau School Board did, thank God, last night, and whatever else we can get to. I know I'm missing something. There's a lot of stuff, but I want to start with something, and I'll be honest, I was actually offered this interview a week ago today, and this has been on a lot of other talk shows since then, but things have been so crazy, but I'm glad that we finally do have Mom. But again, I want to make clear, it's because I had scheduling issues, and his office offered him up right away. That's Republican State Representative John Nygren to talk about a package of bills that he's introduced to combat heroin abuse. John, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
You know, I think the listeners know this, but the personal background, obviously this is an issue very close to you personally.
Right. My family's been struggling with this for about 6 years. My oldest daughter, who will be 25 in February, has had an addiction going back to when she was a senior in high school. And we dealt with this like most families would for the first 6 years or so, and we did it privately and tried to offer as much support and get treatment and those type of things as we could. But the reason I decided to go public on this and then get involved with legislation is because I began to see how big an issue this really was for my friends, my neighbors, my community. Was getting hit hard. The business community stepped forward and said, you know, we need to do something here because we're having a hard time filling some of the jobs we have because of the drug problem. And then once I began looking into it, I realized how big it was for our state, too. This heroin problem is hitting our small towns, which you never would have thought would have happened when you and I were growing up.
Yeah, you know, and that's interesting. And you and I are from the same neck of the woods up in northern Wisconsin. And even before you introduced this legislation, there were already stories. This is something that's flying under the radar of most people in Wisconsin, again, specifically heroin. And I know you're working with law enforcement on this, and I've heard what they had to say. What's their theories on why this particular drug? One of the things is kids don't know how damn dangerous it is.
They don't. You know, heroin kind of went away to a certain extent.
Right.
You know, 60s and 70s, I graduated from high school in 82. You know, I mean, there are a lot of kids that were maybe smoking pot at that point in time, maybe a little bit of cocaine, but heroin had pretty much gone away. And I think because of we stopped talking about it. You know, back then it was done in the dark alleys. You know, low lifes. You know, we're shooting up heroin in dark alleys. Rock stars were overdosing on it, so it kind of went away. But where it started and where it came back this time around, in my belief, and this is anecdotal to a certain extent, is through prescription drugs. I shouldn't say anecdotal because we know about 95% of it starts from prescription drugs. Marinette, we have a huge problem. We're the highest per capita overdose percentage in the state of Wisconsin for a county of 40,000. And the reason that is because we had a doctor in Menominee, Michigan about 8-10 years ago that was selling prescriptions for OxyContin. That magnified the problem, created this generation of dependence, and now because of that, we're seeing the results of it.
And OxyContin, I think, is the one that's been referred to as hillbilly heroin.
Right.
That, you know, that's where it starts, is the prescription stuff.
Well, and, you know, you can see how it can start, though. I mean, it's a pill. It's something a doctor prescribes when we pull a muscle in our back. And I've had conversations with the medical community. I think they overprescribe some of these painkillers. But that's another fight we'll have to have.
Yeah.
But it's safe. The kids look at it as safer. But once they start taking it, the addiction starts, and then they need to feed that addiction. Unfortunately, they go to much more dangerous things such as heroin.
talking with State Representative John Nygren. So what are you proposing? How are you trying to attack this?
There's four different bills we're looking at. None of them are a silver bullet for this problem. I mean, but we got to try. We got to start somewhere. And there's more to come. Since we went public on this and began talking about it, we hear every day new ideas, and we're looking at all of them. But the four different pieces, first, requiring an ID at the pharmacy when you're picking up a narcotic drug. This came to us from the Brown County Drug Task Force. And they said, look, you can walk in. I can go pick up Jerry Bader's prescription at the local pharmacy and walk out with it. I mean, as long as I pay for it.
You know, let me stop you there, because that's a great point. Because this happens all the time within our family. Another family member can go pick up my stuff, and I'm thinking, well, how do they know?
Right. Well, they still will be able to, but they'll at least be able to show
who
they are.
Right, but with doing nothing, though, is what I'm saying.
So that... Because there's a lot, let's face it, there's a lot of fake prescriptions that are being passed because of this problem. So this is a way for them to have to prove, you know, show an ID, who they are, so they can track it, and that law enforcement will be helpful to law enforcement. Second, along the similar lines, is a lot of our communities have these clean sweep programs for drugs where you can turn drugs in. Under current state statutes, turning in narcotic drugs, illegal drugs such as heroin, is not possible. So if you want to quit, how do you get rid of it? You know, so, I mean, we're going to change that statute. We're looking at changing that statute. Number three is for EMTs. Currently in Wisconsin, you have to be an intermediate level EMT or above to be able to carry Narcan, which can reverse the impacts of the overdose. And this will allow basic EMTs and first responders, police, fire, to carry it, so that they can administer it and save a life. In rural areas, you're from the Coleman area. Yep. You know, it's a long way to the hospital. It's a long way for that EMT to get there. If a sheriff's officer is the first one on the scene, they should be able to have that drug and administer it. It's safe. If it's an epileptic seizure or a diabetic coma that the person's in and you misdiagnose it, it's not going to hurt you. So Department of Health Services is very supportive of that. And the final piece is 911 Good Samaritan Law. It's probably the most controversial. There are states that have it. But if you're, you know, unfortunately, when these drugs are happening, it's being done in a social setting where you're probably shooting up with other friends, and the overdose happens, they leave you. It happens. Unfortunately, it happened in my daughter's situation. We got a phone call from one of them, which was good, saying, hey, she passed out, but they all took off. There's kids that have been dumped in snowbanks down in the Milwaukee area by their friends and left to die. So this would allow for limited immunity just for possession. If you're the dealer, you're not going to get immunity. But if it's just you're there, and when the police come, there's limited immunity for it.
All right, so what you're talking about is if someone is shooting up with someone else who obviously is in a life-threatening situation, overdose, you don't want that person to be afraid
of picking up the phone and calling 911.
So define limited immunity, though. What would they face?
You're not going to get charged if you're simply in possession. That's it right there. But if you're the dealer, Lend bias laws and other things still do apply.
Right. You know, and I can see where that's controversial, but if it's going to be between that and them letting someone die.
Right. You know, and we're talking about the different impacts of this drug, and we've kind of talked about how the family and the health side and my community stepping forward because it was affecting the workforce. But let's talk financial. You know, I'm the chairman, co-chairman of the budget committee. Let's just talk about the financial impacts this has, not only on families, but just talk government. Marinette County, Oconto County, parole and probation had a meeting with them recently. They've had about 80 cases of people being arrested and sent to prison for heroin over the last 3 to 4 years. To date, every single person that goes into the system, comes back, has reoffended. Every single one has reoffended. We're spending $35,000 a year on a man in state prison. A woman is over 70. So if we can find other alternatives to try and fight this addiction. So just from a dollars and cents standpoint, we're saving money. I think that's something that society will agree with.
Talking with State Representative John Nygren, I'll put a fifth element in there. How do you scare the hell out of kids about this drug?
Well, you know, we're doing this public service program with the Attorney General's Office, which has been very successful to date. You know, I have a little video that's on there, but, you know, I can talk to parents and they might listen to me as a 49-year-old guy. The kids need to talk to the kids. And if the kids see some of these videos and see how the spiral, they call it the fly effect because how it spirals out of control, that old nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to be able to talk to the kids.
I think the other element of this, now, as you said, they're not going to listen to a 49-year-old or a 52-year-old, but I think the other education level, and I've been honest about this on the air, as a young man, I made some mistakes, and I was in the drug culture. I never did the drugs we're talking about here, but until this came up in the last year or so, I never would have guessed how this drug has made a comeback. And I think adults, and I think this is a big part of what you're doing, need to know what your kids are facing out there.
Well, and, you know, let's talk about the perception of heroin, as I already talked about, you know, done in dark alleys and major communities, yep. You know, rock stars. It's in Marinette, city of 11,000. It's in Coleman, a city, yep. City yep. of, you know, 1,200. It's not just the families. It's not just bad families, as might be perceived. It's really hitting hard in middle class and upper middle class families.
Yep.
If the kids don't have the money to supply their habit, they'll steal it. Which Marinette County jails and Brown County jails are filled with people that either are there because of drug offenses or the crimes that they're committing to support the drug offenses. If you're a family that has the money, that's even more dangerous because then you've got the dollars to be able to spend. So it's hitting all facets of our community.
And remember a few years back, I can't think of the name of the movie, but it was glamorized and that
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, and it wasn't Pulp Fiction. There was another one. It actually gave rise to the phrase heroin chic, where it was actually cool to look like practically a skeleton because you were strung out on heroin. And the media does glamorize this stuff.
Just last night, I didn't watch it, but I've already read about it this morning. Glee, one of the actors in Glee died of a heroin overdose this summer. And they did the tribute to him last night. But they did a disservice because they didn't talk about how he died. You know, I mean, the kids need to realize that you can shoot this up one time and die.
Yeah.
Because this is not a prescription drug that's regulated and safe. You know, safe. It's the purity levels vary from injection to injection, from drug to drug. So one time could kill you, and one time could get you addicted. So the kids need to know this. And I'm saying kids. There's 50 and 60 year old people that are dying of this.
Right. I was just gonna say, kid. And I get where you're coming from, but. People our age who have kids still that age, and you're right, but it does cut across demographic lines, absolutely. So I want to get to a couple of other topics before we're done, but in terms of this package of bills, I would assume that this should have pretty strong bipartisan support.
It does, I think it will have support. I mean, we talk about the perception that you know, the Good Samaritan law could be seen as soft on crime. I think that's going to have even very strong support within my own caucus. Republicans are stepping up and leading on this too. But yeah, I expect Democrats to be just as supportive because it's happening to them as well. It's happening to their community. So this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue.
All right, as long as we've got you here, a couple of legislative issues. Big news yesterday as we're talking with State Representative John Nygren. Scott Walker plans to give schools $100 million to cut property taxes. 2-year proposal would lower December tax bills on the median value home by an additional $13. Basically, would want to use a projected $100 million surplus to push down property taxes on the typical home by 0.4% more than expected this year. I can already hear the critics. $100 million surplus for
$13. Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Well, what's the alternative? What's the alternative when you've got a surplus? First of all, let's think about perspective here. 2 years ago, $3.6 billion deficit. Now we're in a situation where we have the surplus. I think we're now at $750 is the projected surplus in addition to where we started with the budget, over $650. So good problem to have, but do we want to start another program? Our rainy day fund is an all-time high, 5 times higher than it was under the Doyle administration. So we're heading in the right direction. I think we give it back to the people who pay it in when we have a surplus. I mean, that's my theory.
You just said something that was important, though, because I think a lot of people confuse this. The rainy day fund with the surplus, that's not what we're talking about.
That's two different things.
Right. Yeah, we're not talking about, but shouldn't you save this if you're going to be that's not the money we're talking about
right
here.
I think the rainy day fund is now nearly $300 million that we have sitting just for the a potential situation that a bad thing might happen that we need to tap into it. This would put us at, since the governor took over, this would put us at $1.5 billion of tax relief for the citizens of Wisconsin. And yes, this is, you know, $13 on the average home, but over the 4 years since the governor's been in office and the next year and a half is included in that, this will be about $650 in savings for the average property taxpayer in Wisconsin.
Which, by the way, as you know, the governor's race launched this week with Mary Burkender. It's going to be very interesting to see if any of these things, any of these accomplishments, if someone asks her about it, would you vote to repeal or would you sign a repeal of Act 10? Would you peel back the governor's tax cuts? Because these are the things that she's got to run against.
Right. You and I both know. I mean, Act 10, while it was controversial, what we did is we right-sized government.
Right.
You know, we didn't cut government, we right-sized government. And my wife's a public school teacher. You know, we haven't seen mass layoffs in Marinette, even though we're a declining enrollment community over the last, you know, several years. We've actually been seeing additional teachers being hired. This right-sized government gave school boards and local governments the ability to manage their costs rather than being reliant on the union saying yes. So, this is nothing but good news. But yeah, Mary Burke is a candidate. You know, she's in a tough spot. She's got to come out and say she's either for or against Act 10. And my guess is we know where that's going to be.
Exactly. One other thing, and I'm glad that you updated me on this because I was not aware of it. The Tax Foundation came out with their 2014 State Business Tax Climate Index. And again, what they're ranking here is states by their business tax climate. What business faces. And well, let me just throw this out there and then you can follow up. I was stunned. Well, I wasn't stunned to see who's the worst, New York and California and all of that. But you look, they have Wisconsin 43, Illinois 31, Michigan 14. I'm like, wait a minute. But you said they've already have come back.
They've already come back. Well, first of all, this ranking was based on prior to the reforms that we passed. Mm-hmm. The effective dates of those were July 1st. They've already said that they're going to take a second look at it. But, you know, we did provide $650 million in tax relief in this budget, $1 billion with all the other tax cuts from the previous budget that we're phasing in, including the manufacturing tax credit. But in addition to this, it's not just the taxes themselves. It's the simplicity of our tax code. And those were things we're taking a look at, too, because, you know, we don't need to have this complicated tax code in Wisconsin. All these are all things that businesses look at when they decide whether they're going to locate in a state or not. So with my CPA caucus that I work with in the assembly, we did simplify some things. There's more work to be done, but just to compare us to Illinois is in a world of hurt, no doubt about it. Their pension system is not funded. You know, pretty much everything you compare us to, Illinois, we're in a favorable position, with the exception of our tax rates. Even though we reduced every single tax rate and we eliminated the middle tax rate, the middle tax rate in Illinois basically is a flat tax of about 5%. We're at 6.24. So we've got more work to be done on taxes in Wisconsin. So $100 million here, $100 million there, we're going to cut away and make us a more competitive state.
About 30 seconds. These rankings are important, though, because Mary Burke has made it clear, and I am surprised by this, she's running on, I'm going to be better for economic development than Scott Walker. And I would think that Scott Walker and Republicans have to be salivating at that notion.
Well, yeah. I mean, she came from the Doyle administration where we lost $150,000 near the end of his time. And, yeah, we'll make that comparison any single day.
All right. And, again, very important issue that John has introduced the package on. Comes directly from his life experience as well. And we'll be talking more about that in the days to come. John, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry. Have a great day.
You too. 8:56. We've got the coach at 9:10. We've got Reed Ribble at 9:20. We're packed to the rafters. Don't go anywhere. 8:56. Kick it!
No waiting for the latest news at the top and bottom of the